I know that there are millions out there that are advancing in life and career and doing their best to fit into the messages from our culture. These messages urge us to work ever harder and to always say yes to opportunity. I also know that a large proportion of these individuals suffer great anxiety and fears because innately, they're really introverts struggling to be someone they're not. So I found this book, Hiding in the Bathroom, an Introvert's Roadmap to Getting Out There When You'd Rather Stay at Home. The author is Maura Ahrens-Mealy, and she joins me today. Hey, Maura, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
So first, how do I know if I'm an introvert?
Well, so there's no blood test, right? I actually have a quiz in the front of my book.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to say, though, that not all introverts are quiet. Not all introverts are shy. You can't pick an introvert out of a room at a cocktail party. In fact, one of the biggest introverts you know might be that person who's enthralling everyone with a story or up on stage giving an amazing sales pitch. So I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about what introverts are and that that's confusing for many of us. If you're an introvert, you probably do your best work in a quiet environment. You like to be alone and you feel really sort of centered and focused. You might also, if you're sort of out and about, whether it's being in a loud or bright open plan office all day or at some sort of cocktail party or professional networking event or whatever, school, your kid's school function, you feel like Superman and kryptonite is sort of draining the energy out of you, right?
Yeah.
You need breaks. That's where hiding in the bathroom comes from.
How many people really are in the bathroom for other reasons? That's the question of the hour.
Many, trust me. You know, but really, extra people and large crowds drain you and you recharge and draw energy through alone time. You also, one of the things that I think is very common among introverts, which I think is one of our secret superpowers, is we have active internal monologues. Mm-hmm. We think and recharge and have creative thoughts with ourselves, which can be hard because sometimes people think we're not present, we're not ambitious, we don't care, we're not even as smart as the other person, say, in a meeting who's talking a lot. And that's just not true.
Wow, that's a lot of great information. You describe in the book the way social media has changed the way people present themselves to the world, and you use this term FOMO, F-O-M-O, the fear of missing out. Describe the situation that we find ourselves in social media these days.
You know, FOMO is so prevalent in every aspect of your life, right? So if you're dating, you know, if you're a teenager, I hear this all the time from young kids. If they're not invited to a party and they see everyone else they know on Instagram looking like they're having the time of their life, they feel horrible about themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like me and you're a grown-up, you're over 40, you also might see friends having a great time without you. Or you might see someone you went to college with, right, who just got an award or who wrote an article or, you know, wow, you can't even get your kids fed Cheerios for dinner and your good friend is making them perfect bento box lunches are my personal bugaboo. It's a big thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
What did you feed your kid for lunch? How much did you run? So the thing to remember is we all feel it. I have talked to some of the most successful people in the world, the kind of people who engender this FOMO, and they feel FOMO, right? Because there's always someone richer, smarter, thinner, whatever. Mm-hmm. So A, it's human. We all feel it. And B, it's what social media was designed for. That's how they keep us addicted, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to get into that aspect of it because on social media, and I'm thinking specifically of Facebook, you know, you are kind of putting your shining and shiny self forward all the time. You talk about, you know, a disagreement you had with your husband. You called him a Facebook dad. What is a Facebook dad to you? What does that mean?
My poor husband. You know, in full disclosure, I adore him. We were going through a rough patch. He actually had a book and he wasn't home very much. And yet he has this gift for taking uncannily cute photos of our children and finding perfect sort of cute aw shucks anecdotes.
Mm-hmm.
He put them on Facebook and everyone we know would say to me, even offline, oh man, you're so lucky. Your husband is the best dad. Mm-hmm. He's always with your kids. I wanted to be like, that is, you know what? He's just taking these moments and sharing them and creating the illusion.
Yeah.
It's so easy, you know? And look, I get it. I mean, I'm trying to sell a book right now. So what am I doing? I'm curating those moments of fabulosity so that people think that I'm worth paying attention to. It's actually a fantastic business skill. And for introverts especially, or people like me who are hermits who like to work at home, internet curated fabulousness actually can be a strategic tool, but it can also make us feel really bad.
The book is Hiding in the Bathroom, an introvert's roadmap to getting out there when you'd rather stay at home. So we want to kind of help you with your goal here of selling more books. The author is Maura Ahrens-Mealy, and we're talking about kind of existing in a world where you really kind of many times just don't want to do stuff. I want to continue with the social media idea, because you talked about even pregnancy is becoming a performance. I mean, so-and-so has a baby bump, and we see mm-hmm. that picture. And you have a quote, someone said to you, "I just feel like we're living in an age when women are supposed to perform pregnancy." I mean, what is this coming down to here?
Yes, and that's the amazing author, Chimamanda Adichie, who, you know, is a very famous person, right? Beyonce quoted her in a song, and she had a baby and no one knew. And people were kind of pissed at her. Like, how dare you not show us your baby bump?
Yeah.
And I think that that is really kind of incredible. You know, we fetishize certain life moments. You know, there's also these new things, promposals, right? Where young people now record a, "Will you go to prom with me?" on social media and broadcast it for everyone to see.
Wow.
I do think that there's something performative to these life milestones now that actually, and if you look at the data, it really supports it. It makes us anxious.
Mm.
The baby bump thing is wonderful, but if you're a person who's struggling with infertility and you're watching your friend's bump reveal party on Facebook, this is also a new thing, or gender reveal, God, it can make you feel bad. So again, I think it's about having a level of consciousness about all this.
All right. Well, let's talk about the cure for this. Not that there isn't a pill you can take, of course, but you call it leaning out. Instead of leaning in, leaning out, or JOMO, the joy of missing out. What is that?
Yeah, JOMO is a term coined by Anil Dash, who's a fantastic entrepreneur. And he discovered JOMO when he had his first kid, and he stayed home a lot, right? Because you're not going out partying if you have a newborn at home. At least I hope you're not. And he would sort of look at all of his wonderful friends doing wonderful things and think, gosh, I'm glad I'm not there. It's more important what I'm doing here. And one of the things that I really wanted to get across with my book is I tried to be someone mega. I wanted to be a movie mogul or a media executive.
Yeah.
I quit 9 jobs before I was 30 because I kept trying for those big jobs and it wasn't who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm introverted. I'm anxious. I'm a hermit. I do my best work at home in my yoga pants, but I never got those messages, right? How could I be successful if I wasn't that person?
Yeah. I mean, Richard Branson on LinkedIn and all of the little ads or clips that he has on Facebook. I mean, it's never really about anything like that.
It's never about saying no.
Yeah. Every day is a tug of war, you write, between your ambition and your anxiety. But you're saying that anxiety is really not a bad thing because it drives you to do more. It can actually be a gift. How can anxiety be a gift?
You know, if you're the kind of person, and there are many of us, you know, estimates would say a quarter to a third of people at any time are feeling some sort of generalized anxiety. Social anxiety is actually the third most diagnosed mental illness. And that is that feeling. It's different than introversion, where you might walk into a room and think, I'm not worth it. Everyone hates me. I have nothing good to say. I get it. I struggle with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough and you have to take care of it, but it also forces you to create a life that you need to take care of yourself. You build scaffolding, you build infrastructure. You might have to say no. You might have to discover the joy of missing out. And actually, that can be incredibly freeing. The other thing is that anxiety makes you in touch at work. If you're in touch with your anxiety, I have interviewed many people in my book and elsewhere who are so in touch with their anxiety, they talk about it with their teams, and it makes them fantastic managers and teammates. Because instead of being the person, and this is true for introverts as well, I think, who's always showing off, who has to be the smartest person in the room, who's taking up air,
yeah,
you can be the person who's tuning in, who's reading the room, talking when necessary, and really solving problems. And that is what good work is all about.
You write about setting boundaries and setting limits or implementing limits. First of all, we really don't have that much time left, but I would think setting boundaries is the most important thing you can do to start the process. Take us through that a little.
Setting boundaries is the work of a lifetime, right? Yeah. And what I learned, what I didn't know, is that the limit is actually the physical implementation of a boundary. So many people have boundaries around social media usage or, say, their boss emailing them out of hours. They feel violated when their boss or a colleague is constantly trying to reach them for not urgent reasons, you know, say on weekends. They feel like that's a violation of their personal time and space. So a limit could be, you know what? Could you not do that? I know that's really, really hard, but smart teams are learning how to enforce limits and understand people's different work styles. Other people, you know, for me, a boundary is I hate being expected to show up at an office all day when I don't have to be there. So I actually don't mind if my boss emails me as long as I don't have to sit at a desk.
Right.
So my limit would be, you know what? Let me work from home on Fridays. I promise I'll be contactable. Everyone's are different, but I think the key, and I have great exercises in the book, is to tune in to your boundaries at work and know when they're being crossed. A lot of introverts have boundaries of space. Too much hugging, too much hovering, too much open plan office. Oh my gosh, how do I set the limits that are going to actually help me get through the workday and do my best work?
It's a great book. It's a great concept. Hiding in the Bathroom, an Introvert's Roadmap to Getting Out There When You'd Rather Stay Home. My guest and author, Maura Ahrens-Mealy. Maura, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
If you want to hear this interview again and you want to get these and many more informative interviews straight to your inbox, subscribe to our weekly update at stevepomerantz.com.